All right, let's do this thing. What the? Who the hell are you? What? No. Get away from me. Nope. No.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Game Put On Cast. I'm your host, Marshall Henderson, and joining me today, as always, is Sweet Corn.
Hi.
And the Rolling Barrel.
Yep.
You might recognize that I'm not Jordan, and that's because he's dead. Okay, so...
R.I.P. Jordan.
R.I.P. We love you. We miss you.
And we're sorry you have to edit this.
Yeah, we're sorry you have to edit this from the grave. Anyway, so what are you guys playing, Barrel?
Not a great week for gaming this week. I played Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge, which... I mean, here's the thing. It's like, the big deal about Razor's Edge is that it's a reaction to fan feedback, and Ninja Gaiden 3 was known for its streamlined approach and much more easy nature, where you would have to try pretty hard to lose. In Razor's Edge, they made sure it was stupid hard and incredibly cheap. Like, oh god. But
is it fun?
Is anything fun?
You know, I hated it, like absolutely hated it early in, like, for the good first half.
Sure.
It kinda grew on me when I realized that this game is cheap and the enemies are gonna get free damage no matter what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There was also, the game kind of breaks itself with some of its weapons. It's like, it's so unbalanced that it, after a while, you just don't care.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, well, is it a damage thing, or are the weapons themselves just, like, super cheap in the way that they attack, or what?
You start off with a Dragon Sword, which is Ryu's default weapon, and it kind of sucks.
Sure.
Eventually, like, part of the original Ninja Gaiden 3 is that they only had one weapon for the entire game.
Yeah.
And later on, they added DLC weapons. They're like, oh my god, you wanted weapons? Oh, we're so sorry. Here's DLC free. And I think they added new ones in this fancy edition too. But the big thing is that I was trying to get to is that, like, every other weapon that isn't the Dragon Sword is better than the Dragon Sword.
Yeah.
So that's kind of important. And, like, one of the weapons is, like, a scythe, which really levels the playing field, I think, because the enemies in the Razor's Edge are super aggressive and there's no consistency to their patterns, which makes them incredibly frustrating to fight.
Sure.
Because they dodge, they block, but it's like, there's never, like, you never really get a sense of pattern, which is why it kind of drives me nuts. Like, unlike the previous games, there's like a certain methodical nature. It's like you'd play kind of defensively, but you'd counter. In this one, there's no consistency because they're aggressive as hell with a bunch of unblockable attacks and they dodge and block like almost everything you do. But with the scythe does not give a shit. And you just keep swinging and they can't block it. Yep, yep. Anyway.
That sounds terrible.
Yep.
I'm interested.
Shut up, Corn.
My opinion is not super fun. But I also played, like, 10 minutes of Disgaea 3 on Vita. You told me to play that, and I tried.
I did.
Did you enjoy it?
Now, when you say you tried, that kind of comes with the implication that you didn't enjoy it.
You know, I would be willing to play that if I could steal your save file after the main game.
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't want to play the first 40 hours again is the reality of it. I wouldn't mind seeing the post-game content, because that's where I stopped in the original. but I don't want to do it again. But it does look like the best version for sure. Like, I saw a lot of little things of it. That's cool. And that's it.
You might be able to go onto theinternet.com and find like a save game that takes place after that, and then just steal that and do that.
But I don't think Vita. I think Vita games are protected.
Are they?
Like, of course they are.
Well, yeah. That sucks. I mean, I didn't really.
Stopping piracy. Come on, guys. Sorry.
But yeah.
I guess because they have all those records and stuff that probably, like, oh, you know, number one, whatever, that did this in the world. I guess I could see them doing that, but still, that's sort of horse bananas.
Yep.
Okay. But was that all?
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about Ratchet All for One, but that game is, I played that with Ludono and his friends last night.
Yeah.
And that's it? Okay.
So was it, does that mean that you don't want to talk about it because it's good or because it's bad?
It's a game.
Don't keep your secrets from us.
Sparrow. Okay, that
don't
game.
Hide your life under a bushel.
No, we had the game freeze on us like 3 times.
Sure. Yeah.
And, oh, it had all kinds of technical issues, and I don't want to play that game ever again.
You heard it here first, everyone. Don't play that game ever.
I deleted it, so I made sure of it. Anyway, Corn.
All right, yeah, Corn. What do you got?
I played a few different things, but the big one this week would be BioShock Infinite, I think. Don't think it deserves a 10.
Yeah.
What would you give it?
It doesn't deserve a 10. It's not perfect. All right.
An 8, maybe a 7 if I was feeling harsh.
Sure.
Just the gameplay. I didn't really enjoy it. I mean, first off, the perfect mouse sensitivity for me, I couldn't get. It started off too fast. I was like, oh, I want to slow it down just a tad. So I drop it down 1, and it's like, oh, no, this is really slow now. So that just pissed me off for the first little bit, but then I kind of got used to it. But then, I mean, apart from that, like, the story and stuff's pretty solid. Can't really talk too much about it, obviously.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I mean,
Andrew Ryan being the main character was quite a cool twist, but,
Yeah?
Of
course. So
yeah, I'd recommend it if you like story, I guess.
I presume you played it on PC then?
Yep.
Yeah. Alright.
It works around PC.
Sure.
Control's a bit weird because melee is like X or something, so I never use it because it's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I know, I just never do it if it's not a button that's right there. It's just kind of like whatever, so I'll just shoot you in the face point blank.
Yeah, like T. Probably.
The melee takes a little too long, and it's not exactly super strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. But yeah, people, even if you didn't care for the previous Bioshock, I would recommend Infinite, though. Like, that game does a lot of smart improvements. Like, with the story, at the very least.
Yeah, the story's a lot easier because it's not, you know, the first Bioshock.
Nope.
The book that everyone talks about in reference to Bioshock 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, play it. It's decent. The end stuff's pretty cool. It's a little complicated, but whatevs. You can think through it if you're smart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Alright. What else you got?
Minecraft. Stop playing tickets. Right. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We've got some new stuff. Because we finally figured out that building a robot army would require us to actually, you know, code the robots to do things, and we don't have time for that shit. So we were like, yo, let's just go into the vaults, which is essentially Minecraft with missiles and nuclear reactors and everything. I played a bit of it before, which is, you heard me talking about nuclear reactors and all that. So we're going in, we're having a server, and we're pretty much fighting each other.
I regret ever asking.
It can get super complicated. There's like force field generators, EMP bombs, all the whole thing. It's mental.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Look, nobody cares about Minecraft anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, I also played Space Marine, finally.
You also played what?
Because I picked it up cheap. Space Marine, the Warhammer game.
Alright.
Did you make it play the American version?
Did I play the what?
The American version is like, they modded it, so it's like, there's like all kinds of American flags, and like, the enemies are like,
nope.
Like, presidential
figures. I should have modded it to be Korn version. Been better. So late Orc could win the Chaos Army shows up at the end, but what?
Did you like? Did, Like you're kind of in that Warhammer stuff. Did you like it? I mean, do you think it was a
Relic knows that like the back of their hand. They got the lore down pat. The actual gameplay is fairly solid. There's a little, like executing enemies to regenerate health for the most part works, but when you're on low health, you still take damage during the execute animation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, I was this close to being regenerated, and then now I'm dead. So it can get annoying.
Yeah.
They do kind of mix it up. There's different weapons.
Oh, I was going to say, it's like, do you have any other ways of killing the enemies other than, like, doing, like, a fancy killing blow, like Kratos style, whatever?
Yeah, you can shoot them, from my understanding.
They do kind of mix it up a little. There's some jetpack levels, or jump pack, if you want to be technical. It's weird because there's fuel that lasts like 2 minutes. It's just like, really? We have like 4 hour long Warhammer games and my jump packs don't die. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, if it lasts 2 minutes, that's kind of a while, Corey.
Probably not. It lasts until you get to the end of the segment or whatever. They do mix stuff. It does feel like they kind of force you because they're like, hey, you can have a Thunder Hammer, but you can't use these two special weapon slots or whatever. And then, like, hey, now that you have the Thunder Hammer, we decided to put these enemies really far away. What do you mean you don't have the sniper rifle weapon? You know, it's just like, oh, thanks. So, yeah.
Well, that's why you should always pack your sniper rifle.
Yeah. The animations do repeat a little, especially with the Chaos Space Marine execution. Just a little bit of a shame. Oh, and what is it? I think it's the missile turret things, because, you know, turrets. Even gaming, when you get a knockback from a hit, and then the time it takes for you to recover from the knockback is the exact same time it takes for the enemy to then launch up another attack.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, it's decent. If you like Warhammer, it's good.
All right.
It's Relic. They know what they're doing when it comes to that stuff.
Sure. Is that all you got?
That's all I got. Unless you want super mundane, I played some solitaire while I was waiting for stuff to load.
I didn't know anyone actually played solitaire. I, on the other hand, the most important thing that I want to talk about is me.
Of course.
I played some of Borderlands 2 with...
I'm sorry.
No, it's actually pretty decent when you're playing.
Yeah, it is a big improvement over 1.
Yeah, it is. The writing is a lot better, you know. Thank you for that, Anthony Birch. the abilities. The abilities that they give you. I played the Mordecai in the first one, and he had the bat monster, Bloodwing or whatever. That wasn't worth doing. That wasn't very particularly fun. But then I played Maya, the siren in this one, and her ability, her phase shift thing, that's so much more useful.
Yeah, I played her.
Some more interesting characters in both games. I think.
Although she's fragile, that's kind of but I don't know, in a multiplayer environment, she's a lot more useful.
Yeah. Well, the thing for me is that I tend to prefer to play a sniper character, and my roommate tends to prefer to play a shotgun character. So
yeah, I like your friend.
Playing as a frail character doesn't really bother me that much because everyone's paying attention to him and I'm just sitting back, taking my time, not getting hit. Also played, and this one definitely isn't. I'm sorry. I also played Assassin's Creed 3, which.
I'm sorry. That one I'm really sorry for.
Yeah, me too. I'm genuinely sorry for that as well. Though to be fair, in the series, it is the best one that exists in the series. It's just
really.
Yeah.
Sure, the gunplay doesn't take away from it.
The main character, the Connor or whatever his actual name is. He's a lot more interesting, I guess. He's not more likable than Ezio was, but you know his backstory is more interesting than Ezio's is.
I guess, but he's still plain. Like, I would compare him to, like, a flat JRPG protagonist. Like I'm a blank slate, and I'm naive.
Oh, but it's still a lot better than Altair. Like, now, to be fair, if you're using Altair metric, then you're not measuring very well, but... Oh, boy. Golly, GG Bruce. He is... I guess... I mean, when you get to play as him as a kid, that's more interesting to me than, you know... anything Altair ever did, and it's more interesting to see his backstory and a little more into his character than whatever Ezio did.
Oh, what? They,
my like, parents got hanged, whatever. Man. Like, who cares? Who cares, you crybaby?
Toughen up, bitch. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was it?
Yep, that was it. That's all I did.
No, but here's one question, though. It's like, I played that game, and after I finished Hate Them, I wanted to Hate Them to be the main character. Did you feel the same way?
I absolutely did. I haven't finished Assassin's Creed 3 yet, but I was playing as him, and I was like, this is actually kind of a cool dude.
Yeah.
I like him. And then they're like, oh, spoilers happen. And I'm like, oh, well, I wanted to play as him more. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. Hate Them was actually an interesting character, and I think it's interesting how they took that character into the story. But yep. It would have been more fun to take that character, you know.
Throughout the game.
Yeah, like, even if it was the same story.
Like, every time he appeared in cutscenes, like, he was the only one I gave a crap about. I was like, oh, Connor, stop talking. Hate Them's much cooler than you.
But, you know, the combat's prettier. It's not better, but it's prettier.
It's better, I would say.
I mean,
like, it's not the crap. I mean, their mechanics are still bad in general, like from stealth to battle. Like, that's just Assassin's Creed, but people don't care.
Yeah. No, the stealth in those games, is just absolute horse cock. They're, I mean, horse jazz. And, like, I really like stealth games. I know that that's not necessarily everyone's cup of tea or whatever, but I do enjoy stealth games, so long as they give you the option to not stealth, like Metal Gear or Splinter Cell Convictions or something like that.
Yeah.
But in that, they're like, okay, now you gotta do the stealth stuff, and I'm like, that's cool. Also, the enemies are the dopiest, just most idiotic enemies that you're going to run into. Like, someone will see you, and they're like, oh no, you walk into some grass, or whatever, some tall grass, and the dude will walk over to the edge of it and be like, oh, where are you? And then you just kill the dude. Problem solved. The stealth element is no longer a thing.
Yep. But where'd you stop, though? Like where'd you... Or did you forget?
I don't really remember. I'm not done with it forever. I'm going to go back and play.
Okay. But, so we're going to hear you cry next week when you get to the chase sequences. You're like, this is the worst thing ever.
Probably.
Actually, I think they rebalance those, so they're less crappy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, anyway, I think that's it. I think we've all talked about every video game.
Okay.
So let's, instead of talking about every video game that currently exists, let's move into the future. You know?
I hate the future. It's so scary.
It is scary sometimes, but sometimes...
You gotta be brave, Lee.
Yeah. Default. You've gotta make your default stance on that one of braveness. By the way, it's completely unrelated. You guys hear about that record of Agorist War being on Greenlight?
yeah,
I did not.
That game snuck on Greenlight, apparently, and people have the same reaction they did with, like, Totori. Well, not really, because Totori's a better game, and hopefully people don't give as much attention to Agorist anyway.
Sure.
But yes, that game arrived on Steam, like, it's out right now, right? Was it advertised, or on just... Okay, we're uninformed. Wonderful.
I don't think it's out yet. On there. Okay. I think it was just being put on to the green light thing. I mean, this should be your area of expertise, being that you like that
PC
sort of thing.
Easy gaming.
Yeah, that's true. But isn't it on PS3 as well?
Yeah, it was on both Agorist. Nah, it was on both 360 and PS3 for the first Agorist War. Mm-hmm. And Agorist War 2 was not on 360. And they had, like, a pseudo-sequel prequel thing called Zero, which apparently was the same thing as 1. Either way, I hate 2 with a passion, but that's another story.
Sure. Did you like them? I mean, I've never played them. I don't know anything about them.
I've only played 2, and I... You know how I bag on the Junia games?
Sure.
That game, 2, was so much worse.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you want to... Marcus wrote a thing about it. It was Marcus, right? Yeah, Marcus wrote it.
No, it was Roy Zuga. Marcus wrote the piece, but
yeah.
Roy Zuga made like a million word post.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
Berserker, if you want to have opinions, if you want to hear opinions on that, you could go ahead and read this manifesto that he wrote to it, that Berserker wrote to it in a comment. But, you know, that was a thing.
Yep. I mean, people do like those games, apparently. That aren't me.
Also, to unshoot myself in the foot in the goof that I made earlier, Bravely Default. Now, that's something that people have actually been, you know, they've been looking forward to it a little bit, I think.
Yeah, that'd be, I don't know. Like, that was one of the things I, like was holding on 3DS. I was like, if that's announced, so it's Fire Emblem, I'll buy a 3DS. Now, that game wasn't announced until recently, but Fire Emblem was enough to push me over the edge. But Bravely Default has been teased for a US release, but not confirmed, from
Correct.
What I gathered. I don't know. Like, at least there's hope, but then again, Square Enix has teased other games like Type-Zero. They're like, yeah, we're working on it. We would love to bring it over.
No, I mean, Square Enix does have a tendency to announce things that they never release a lot, and announce a lot of things.
But this wasn't announced, though. This was, like, found on the site, right?
Yeah, I think it was something at GDC, that some whisperings or something that were there. But, you know, it's an RPG on the 3DS that people have been looking forward to. And if it gets brought over, I think that'll be a good thing. Though, I think that sort of leads us into we were doing a little unusual to the way that we normally do, and throwing some
Jordan's
questions
not here.
Here,
we can get crazy with it.
Yeah, Jordan's not here, we can do whatever we want.
Yep.
Just throw the rules out the window, it's rebel time.
It's rebel time. Corn, freestyle rap.
Yep.
Don't ask me to do things.
Freestyle, okay. Good
don't
job.
Don't ask me to do those things, because I got some things that I'm not gonna do. Yo, 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 the snack was delicious. I'm gonna go home and take a nap.
What is your opinion on voicetting for certain games, especially RPGs, as they always... Blaze, this doesn't rhyme, you f***ed.
What is your opinion on voice acting for certain games, especially RPGs, as they always have text boxes? Coinciding with that, do you think too many Japanese games fall prey to the anime stylistic choices regarding voice acting, cinematography, presentation, Blaze Knight? Okay.
Yeah, boy.
Yep.
That's
a lot of budget
the
games
thing
do have. Like, for budget-related reasons, a lot of Japanese RPGs obviously have, like, still frames and character portraits and have their, like, storytelling pretty much carried out entirely through text boxes. There's exceptions for higher budget stuff, like Final Fantasy 13, but, I mean, in general, like, you can play something like Atelier Aisha, and that game is largely propelled by text boxes, and a lot of those. And
they are.
The big thing is that, I think Aisha is a good example for this, is like, the voice acting is not exactly amazing, and they even had to cut back on it because of budget-related reasons, because it's a more, less popular title, more niche, I got, anyway, words. But, thing is, usually Japanese RPGs don't get great dubs, so, I kind of have this old school mindset of preferring text, like myself. Like, I usually like to envision character voices because I envision them to be better than a lot of Japanese game dubs.
Yeah.
There are exceptions. Like, I hear Ni no Kuni's is great, and I think Final Fantasy XII had a great localization. Persona 4 and 3 as well had good localizations. I mean, obviously they exist.
Yeah.
But usually they're not great.
I mean, I do agree. Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree. I do enjoy voice acting, because it feels like they took it, you know, a little more, went a little bit on the extra mile there. But honestly speaking, I'd much rather just have text boxes than the game not exist at all. I mean, that can get pretty pricey. You have to pay all those people to do that stuff, and that can be pretty prohibitive, especially on, like, you know, I like Nippon Ichi, and they don't always have the ability to bring stuff over as a consequence of that. And, you know, Beryl, you're super into all those weird-ass
things.
Yeah. Niche titles and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'd much rather see a game that doesn't have voice acting, as long as it exists, rather than, you know, not having the game at all.
For sure. Like, a lot of games, I think XC does this a decent amount. Like, you saw, like, Way of the Samurai 4 come out on PSN, and it had no dub, I think, at all. It was translated text.
Correct.
And and Corpse Party is also a good example. Like, that's entirely propelled by text, but it has the same Japanese voice.
Yeah.
Now, that is also another thing that we can get into, but, like, in general, like, some games omit, like, Japanese voice acting altogether because licensing costs for voice acting can be expensive. Like, in some cases, it's actually more expensive than hiring English ones, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I think one example of that is Growlancer, Wayfarer of Time on PSP. Like, they got rid of, like, any trace of voice acting because Japanese dub was that expensive, but they had some English dub in it. So it's kind of...
Well, the thing is that here, I think, who was it? I think it was Polygon that did an article last week, talking about how here in the West, we don't really treat our voice actors like celebrities that much. Whereas in, you know, Japanese companies, they tend to be a lot more into that.
And definitely.
Yeah. Especially with all their carryovers with like idols and stuff like that doing voice acting work. But, you know, you have a handful. You have like Nolan North and Jennifer Hale and stuff like that, and Steve Blum maybe, and David Hayter. Which David Hayter is really.
Aww, I love Steve Blum.
David Hayter's not great.
Yeah, but even with David Hayter, he's just basically one character that he's a celebrity for.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's strange that we have that as an issue, but.
And also, it seems like only the popular things is like. For example, Troy Baker is getting some rep for doing Bioshock Infinite as a main character, and like nobody like knew he existed. Like, well, people did, but like it was kind of known to the anime community.
Yeah,
it's like because he voiced Kanji in Persona 4, I think. God,
great
think.
In Fullmetal Alchemist.
Yeah, that too, but it's like it was mainly largely like Japanese RPGs and stuff like that or animes. It's like you kind of if you were familiar with those voice actors because there's a lot of recycled in Japanese like localizations, but we don't really celebrate them. Like we only poke fun at the ones that are overused, but not really like praise the ones that are, you know, actually.
Stop being successful if it ain't your job. It's not North.
The thing that's ridiculous though is that like you say, Troy Baker is only just getting popularity. And that's true in the sense that, you know, people are getting to know him now because of that. But the dude's got
a hell of a like profile.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of things that were moderately popular. He's been in like Call of Duty. He's been in, like you said, Persona, and
I played something recently with him. Oh, he was freaking Ryu in Ninja Gaiden 3, but that's another matter. Anyway.
Yeah, he was in Oh, yeah, he was Kai Ling in Mass Effect 3. He's been in a handful of things, so it's ridiculous that he doesn't have more popularity than he does. But that's just the nature of the way voice acting is done.
Yep.
I just pick up voice actors way too easily. Like, I pick out their voices and everything, it sticks in my head, so I guess I pay more attention to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're...
They get familiar after some time, for sure.
Yeah. Like, I can name a few voice actors that I would recognize out of anything, like Johnny Youngbosch or something like that.
Mm.
But to be fair, he was in the Power Rangers, so of course he's going to have a little bit more celebritas than a lot of people do, but you know?
Yep.
What was the second question?
Oh,
do you think that too many Japanese games fall prey to anime stylistic choices regarding voice acting, cinematography, presentation? Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes. Yeah, I kind of tried to answer that while doing the Aisha stuff.
Yeah.
I don't really like modern anime stuff, I guess, I don't know how to put it.
I mean, the thing is that it makes sense. It absolutely makes sense that they would do that because that's sort of their
culture.
Their primary. Yeah, their culture, their artistic
style.
Presentation or whatever. But I mean, if they're marketing to an audience at large, as a lot of those game developers, you know, they try to do at least. That's what hurt Square Enix is, according to them at least, is that the Western market didn't do as well as they they'd hoped it would. That's because they're playing to tropes that are not going to ring as true for the Western audiences.
Just go in there, edit the character sprites, make them all bald, give them a little stubble.
Yeah.
Deepen the voices. You'll sell millions.
I think that's kind of why, like, there's Final Fantasy is popular, though, because they don't really use stuff like character portraits. They use in-game stuff. It's like, sure, they have pink-haired girls, but they have a noticeably bigger budget, and they aren't exactly anime-ish, like, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like
Final Fantasy does, sort of, with the exception of hair colors and maybe the hair itself, they do sort of aim at a semi-realism in a lot of their stuff. I mean, you might not be able to tell that from Final Fantasy VII, but, you know, Final Fantasy VIII and X and XIII, those tend to have a little bit more realistic-looking people. But, yes, it does, and I don't think it's necessarily Japanese's, like, an issue with the way the Japanese do that. I think it's an issue with the fact that gaming industry as a whole tends to homogenize their characters anyway, so it doesn't make it popular outside of their own specific territories.
For sure.
Like, I... Yeah.
A lot of rugged looks for the Western stuff. It's like, a lot of... I mean, grays and browns are made fun of all kinds for Western stuff. It's like, a lot more gritty. And while Japanese refuse to have, like, less dirty characters, it's like, much more clear color palettes, should I say? Does that make sense?
Sure. They're a lot, at least, brighter. The color palettes are a lot more varied and stuff.
What were you going to say? I think I cut you off.
I don't know. I think that they'd probably be a lot more popular if they were to just sort of ditch the tropes that they go for and, you know, try to actually... Because the thing is that it becomes prescriptive when you do that kind of thing. It's like, okay, we've got all these characters that are all, you know, here in the West, they're all bald and stubbly and cool. They're all... You want to play your bro-up games and stuff like that. To the point where that becomes sort of prescriptive, and that's like, this is what makes a good game. People understand that that's what makes a good game, so that whenever you come out with something that deviates from that, not only does nobody want to take a risk on it, but because of everyone thinking, okay, well, that's what it's supposed to be, this is not that, therefore this is not good, then that hurts it, and the same works in the Japanese games as well.
For sure. Like, I mean, I think a good example of this is, like, Demon's Souls is, like, when they try to do a kind of different art style, but more akin to Western stuff. And the Japanese did not care about it at all. Like, that game did not sell well. It was reviewed poorly. And when it came overseas, that game reviewed highly, got a cult following, and we even got Dark Souls. If only because the Western art market really picked up on it. And that game wasn't, you know, anime-ish at all. And it pandered, I would say kind of pandered to a Western type of style. Like, it was kind of derivative in a way.
Yeah.
But another matter, but still, it's like, you notice that developers are very much, like Marshall mentioned, it's like pandering to their audience.
They are. And I feel like they would do a lot better with that if there was to be a little bit more deconstruction on that. If they were to say, okay, well, let's make a game, let's base it on this idea of whatever. Let's go concept-based rather than trope-based. And if you want to sort of frame it in those tropes, something like, I know I've talked about it way too many times on this podcast, but something like Spec Ops, where it's framed very much in the same way that a lot of those games are, but it's a concept-driven game. It's not driven by the fact that it is a shooter. It's driven by the fact that it's a shooter that is also, you know, this and this and this. It has these different ideas that it's playing to.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't pick up on that. I'll
talk more about it later, I guess.
Yeah, we can.
Another topic.
Okay.
Foreshadowing.
Yes, we're foreshadowing right now. Don't worry. On a Freytag's triangle, we're still on the rising action. We'll get there. Another thing that happened this week that was kind of uncool. Sad. Sad's a good word for it. Is that there was a salary survey by Game Developers Magazine, which revealed that the whole statistics between, like, how much women make versus how much men make in gaming is still very much so kind of skewed in favor of men, or more accurately against women.
Well, men are better at making video games, so I guess it makes sense.
You know, Korn, if you're arguing pragmatically or if you're arguing evidence-based, you could potentially make an argument for that, for the fact that men are the ones that get to make video games.
Yeah. But I won't, because I'm not a horrible person.
Correct. Well, I don't know about you not being a horrible person, but that would make you a horrible person if you were to make that as an argument. Now, I mean, let's talk straight up numbers. I think probably one of the worst is...
audio developers? Correct.
I'm sorry? What?
Audio developers?
Yeah, audio developers. Men make about $82,944 to women's $50,000, which is... Yeah, that's pretty significant. That's a pretty significant bump on that one.
Yes,
it is. Business legal. That's 108,571 versus 82,292, which is also pretty significant. You could look at the other numbers on the site. Yet again, Marcus writing that one. Yeah, the site GamePodunk. That is the name of the site. Thank you, Corey.
It's entirely run by Marcus.
Yep.
But that's pretty awful, and I don't want to just leave it at saying that's awful, because that's something that I think people should probably be a little more involved in. I mean, I don't know, just be a participant in that conversation, because it kind of ruins the entire, like we were talking about with the way games are made, how they get homogenized. If you're focusing, if you're drawing from that sort of mindset, where men typically make more than the fact that they make more, they typically constitute a higher representation, it tends to homogenize the sorts of games that you get, because it's like, okay, well, we're making games from a man's mindset, and that's a very bad thing that you're doing.
You are silently consenting if you don't, you know, make an opinion on it, or, you know, go crazy and be like, this is, why are you doing this? This is not cool.
And you know what? Straight up, if you think that this is okay, if you're like, okay, well, whatever game should be from that audience or whatever, I 120%, which doesn't even make sense based on numbers, but I still 120% disagree with your opinion. But I feel like you should still take that to a debate somewhere, because even if I think you're wrong, this isn't the sort of issue that I think people should be quiet about. I think that, you know, be a participant in the argument, even if you're on the opposite side, because it keeps the problem something in people's minds. And if, as long as it's in people's minds, that's one tiny little baby step closer to having a solution.
Yep, of course. What else? What?
Mean more diversity in gaming. I guess that starts with development.
It does. It starts Definitely. With development. It starts with what you choose to buy. If you're like, I'm tired of all these bro-op games, but that's all that there is, I don't care. Don't buy that game. Don't buy another bro-op game if you're tired of the genre. Because there are a lot of things out there. I mean, not to be a support your indies or whatever kind of person or whatever, but support your indies. Like, whenever there's an interesting new idea out there, support that idea.
Yes. Games would be like, oh, yo, I'm not going to support this, because was it Left 4 Dead 2? They weren't going to buy it, they were boycotting it, but then it sold well anyway.
Yeah. Just,
you say something, stick with it.
Yeah, sticks. Like, and the worst example, or best, I guess, depending on how you look at it, the most egregious example of that is probably with, like, the Call of Duty map packs and stuff, where people are like, another map pack? Okay, whatever, I'm not going to buy that, except then they sell as well as they do, because all their friends are buying the games and buying the map packs, so they feel like they have to do it as well. Don't do that. Don't do that thing that you're doing, people.
Like, in general, like, that's a bigger issue. It's like, people are like, they complain about the old and new, but when an unproven IP, they're like, I don't know if I want it right away. Like,
yeah.
Yep. Well, you are the reason why these things are happening.
Like, this is why.
You are not speaking with your wallet. You are not, you know, helping unproven IPs, but and stuff like that. It's like, and little things, like just buying a game with a female lead or something like that. It's like, things like that.
Yep. Something like Remember Me, where apparently the developers of Remember Me had to fight to keep their female lead.
Yeah, it's connected, I guess, but that whole, the Bioshock Infinite recent example, Elizabeth just sitting on the back cover, even though she's arguably more important than Booker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they do that sort of thing, and it sets a bad example. And it's, you know, again, it's one of those sort of chicken and egg situations where you know, they make people afraid to do that sort of thing because, I don't know, what's the issue? Are you scared to play as a woman? Do you really think that when you're playing as Nathan Drake, you're being Nathan Drake?
That shatters the illusion.
Yeah, Corn might be, but for the rest of us, whenever you play...
Good looks down.
Yeah, you do. You have the kawaii good looks down. Whenever you're playing, you know, a game, there's a certain degree of immersion. There's a certain degree of putting yourself in that character's shoes. Is it, like, do you genuinely think that men and women are so completely different that you can't fathom a woman thinking similarly to you? You can't fathom making the decisions you would make as a woman?
Well, also, back to Remember Me, wasn't there a thing about the main character kisses a dude and everyone was like, oh, that's kind of weird.
Oh, yeah, they're like, oh, you can't have him kissing another, or you can't have a player playing as a woman kissing a dude because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
you know, my Commander Shepard, who was female, a guy.
Yeah.
I was cool with that. I mean,
that is normal.
No, I mean, this is... Okay, there's something innately weird about it, in that would it be okay if you were playing as a woman and the woman kissed another woman? Okay, if you're okay with that, then presumably that would mean that the fact that it's a...
It's pandering.
Yeah, it's definitely pandering, but it's a... That would make the woman, you know, at least bisexual, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's nothing weird about that to you, but then you're weirded out by the fact that as a dude, you'd be kissing another... I mean, there's a duality to that that you're kind of missing on that.
Yep.
And the fact is that even if it were, you know, even if you're playing as a dude and your dude kisses another dude, you're an asshole if you have a problem with that. But you should have a certain degree of empathy or something. I think immersion in games isn't, unless it's like a Fallout or Skyrim or something where you make your character, I don't think it's necessarily a you are playing as yourself in this world sort of situation. It's you're watching the story. There's a story being told to you, and this is a character that you're, I guess, meant to be deeply empathetic for. And if you can't get over that, then I don't know, f*** off.
Just open your mind a little. New experiences, you don't get anywhere if you just close your mind off. Anyway, it's stupid.
I mean, to be fair, you are limiting yourself if you're not kissing dudes in general, but...
Oh.
You certainly are. That is... It's tops.
Yes, you are limiting yourself, regardless of preference.
Yeah. Look, step out of your comfort zone a little bit. I'm not telling you to go kiss dudes, but I mean, step out of your comfort zone a little bit. And... Maybe think, hey, it wouldn't be such a weird thing if this woman kisses a man.
Yep.
It happens a lot more than you would think.
No, I really don't think it happens more than you would think. I think that it happens a lot, and you should probably assume that it does happen a lot, because it does happen a lot.
I mean, I'm hardly pro-racist, and in Bioshock Infinite, the world is very, very racist, and I wasn't sitting there going, man, I'm not going to play this because all the characters in this are racist. It was, okay.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah. Did you miss the whole Vox Populi thing?
What? No, I thought you meant, like, real people were saying, like, I'm going to play this game because it's racist.
No, no, I'm just generating arguments out of thin air.
Okay.
No,
oh, my God. What? Really? The worst people? Okay. Anyway.
There probably are people out there.
Yeah, there are.
But yes, I remember that.
The thing is that, you know, there's the... I guess this is sort of detached from the pay gap thing or whatever.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but either way, ultimately you're going to be helping and solving that problem if you go and you buy something like Remember Me, or you buy Tomb Raider or something like
that.
Yeah,
Tomb Raider.
Which, hey, you know what? Tomb Raider, as Beryl eloquently said, is the best Uncharted game that exists. So, you know, if you like Uncharted, go play that, because it's better.
Exactly. And it is handled, like, I would say, certain aspects of the storytelling is handled better than something like Uncharted. Like, there's more empathy towards, like, Lara Croft, because she's in a much, like, stressful situation that you can relate with much more than you can Nathan Drake and realize it's like survival and whatnot. Whether or not it's handled well is another argument. But
yeah, you could make the argument that Nathan Drake is an idiot because the majority of his problems are just like, I want to go do something. I want to get some treasure and whatever. Whereas Lara Croft is like, okay, well, I'm going to go get some treasure. But that's not the origin of her problems. The origin of her problems is, hey, you know, Gilligan's Island happened, and then now I have to survive to get through all this stuff. And yeah, she is a sociopath like Nathan Drake is, but
yeah,
but but it's not necessarily based on her own, you know, being a jackass that got her into the situation. At least not to the same degree that Nathan Drake's is.
Yeah, okay.
So, long story short, play Tomb Raider, I guess.
Questions, I mean, or do we want to take more topic?
I was foreshadowing before, and now it's not going
to... Look, here's the thing.
Whatever.
What we were foreshadowing to is AAA games, right? They're not doing as hot as they used to. And I know that we just sort of went on a tirade talking about how people are afraid to try new ideas because that old ideas is what makes them money. But that's not entirely 100% true because people are sort of getting tired of the old ideas. And for sure, people are getting tired of a lot of the older business practices that are associated with that. So, AAA games not doing as well as they used to do.
Nope.
Go.
And not just that. It's like, in terms of business, it's like people, like companies that aren't Activision have unrealistic business expectations. Like Tomb Raider sold over 3 million on console, like not counting digital sales,
yep,
retail copies.
Mm-hmm.
And that sold below expectations.
Yep.
Which is ridiculous for a series that is, even though it has a long history, none of those games were that popular. Lara Croft has been largely forgotten nowadays.
Yep.
And it's surprising that, like, as we go on back to it, like, as a female lead, which rarely translates into sales, unless Suda51, who apparently is the exception anyway.
To be fair, a lot of people like Suda51 because of a lot of those games are sort of weird, so they're not necessarily looking for the same thing that they're always looking for in that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Buckhorn.
What? Huh? Sweet Corn?
I mean, it's just... they don't want to try new things because it's too risky, because if they do it, they're just going to fail and lose all their money.
Yeah. Or they might not fail. They might succeed.
Yeah, but they don't want to take that risk.
Yeah, and that makes them bad business people.
Yeah.
Straight up, if you're afraid of taking risks, see, this is the thing. This is why Blockbuster is hardly a thing anymore, is because it took them so long to get into the digital market that they're like, well, whatever, this Netflix thing, that's just a fad, right? We'll be okay, don't worry about it, guys, right? And you know what? Netflix, not really a fad. That's the reason why you're not getting the same views that you used to get on television, is because, you know, people all have their... TiVos or whatnot, their laser vision and everything, all this futuristic stuff that keeps them from having to watch commercials. So now they're not watching TV the way they used to. They've got all this digital stuff that they can be watching instead. And TV hasn't quite picked up the thing yet, but I mean, even Blockbuster has gone online. You know, you can order through the mail a lot of the stuff from Blockbuster. So If you're not willing to innovate, then your business is going to die. That's straight up facts for you.
But going back to the business,
so it costs
talk,
a lot
like...
to pay men so much more.
Yeah, it does.
What
hire
do you
more women
Bosh,
because
I'm gonna take like a... that's the solution.
Do hire more women, but pay them the same. That's the takeaway you should take from this. But whatever. Okay.
Well,
what?
I mean. Like, going beyond that, though, it's, like, going to go into more business talk. It's, like, when you, like, the other companies, it's, like, other than Activision, which obviously has Call of Duty, and they are allowed to have ridiculous expectations because they sure as hell get them. But, like, what was it? Like, Medal of Honor was, like, known as critically failure. Like, and they put the same kind of, they put all kinds of production values. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, apparently that game wasn't great. And apparently people didn't like the last one. What a surprise the sequel didn't do as well. Okay. But, what was it getting into? But, last week, like, big deal is that, stuff like CEOs are stepping down, like EA and, Square Enix stepped down. And Like, it was believed to be business practice related for, like, at least for the EU one for sure. It's like Star Wars, The Old Republic sold, not Old Republic? Yeah, that's the proper title, right?
Star Wars, The Old Republic? Yeah.
Okay. I keep thinking of the RPG. Anyway, the Bioware one. Anyway.
Yeah.
The one before, anyway. That game sold below expectation, like, regardless of how popular
Star Wars is. A lot of money.
And it is because they underestimate demand, and it's like, that game is AAA game, they put all kinds of money into voice acting, and I guess they tried to emulate out WoW, I guess, but people obviously didn't want the same thing.
Yep.
And didn't sell as well as they put the time and money into, which obviously brings in a bigger question, is like, it's something like Star Wars cannot, you know, reach the heights they want.
Yeah.
Like, maybe your business model is kind of ridiculous with trying to sell who knows how much with these AAA games. Like, maybe you should lower expectations. Maybe you should, you know, smartly use your money in certain parts of game development.
It costs quite a lot to make a game these days, or AAA one at least, if you want a cutting edge.
It does, but the way that they're doing it, the cycles that they're trying to turn these games out in and stuff like that, that's really what's hurting. Yeah.
I don't want a new game in a series every year. That's not gonna...
Like, I'm willing to wait if you make the game better, first off. Secondly, like, don't... With Call of Duty, for example, I know people give it a lot of crap for being the same stuff over and over, and that's its problem! Stop making the same game over and over! Like,
well, people are buying it, so they don't really have to, but what ifs.
Yeah, that's true, but that's going to dry up at some point. The reason why people are buying it is because that's the fad now. That's the, you know, the brown and blue first-person shooters. That's what people are into. Give us giant set pieces. Give us blockbusters. And that's the thing. Stop trying to make blockbuster games, because that's kind of what made film pretty unsufferable for a really long time. Like, look at doing something sincere. Try to be genuine in the things that you're doing, and you're going to get a lot better results out of it.
Yeah, I think this is a bigger problem for Western developers in particular. It's like, they have gone to the Hollywood level with gaming, like, kind of like you mentioned. Like, they want budgets, higher budgets, and they had to do a lot of outsourcing and all kinds of ways to just raise the development costs. Because of that, they had to have unrealistic expectations, which they shouldn't. And...
Let's also be straight up. Now, developing a game, that's pretty expensive. That's pretty time-consuming. We all know that.
Yep.
But I think that's not their real problem. Their real problem is in the marketing. That's where the money is going, is into the marketing, because it's so expensive to do that. It's so completely ridiculously expensive to market games. Like, that's one reason why Tomb Raider did so poorly. Tomb Raider did, you know, extremely well, but that's why it went under expectations, because they marketed it everywhere, and the way that they marketed it, that sounds weird to say, marketed it,
whatever,
is like, the way that they did it is they went with total saturation. They went with, make sure everyone's heard of this game, make sure every news outlet, every single person, everything has heard of this game, and that's going to sort of cost a lot of money, and if it costs a lot of money, then you're going to need to make
I saw a Bioshock Infinite ad on TV. Yeah. In New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You guys are going too far.
Yeah.
It's a CG trailer, too, which is stupid.
Who cares? Game
comes out, like, next week. CG.
Who cares about New Zealand? Stop marketing there. Like,
it's a waste of money.
It's a waste of money.
That kind of goes back to this point.
Yeah. The fact is that you're going to kill yourselves with that. Look at Square Enix.
I think
look
gamers,
at EA.
I don't think they just randomly find games very often anymore, I like to think. At least I don't. Like,
I don't know.
They usually kind of clued up for the most part. They'll be like, oh,
no, I think there's a lot of impulse buys that you don't think of. It's like, we should be trying to encourage people to be more educated so they don't fall into this marketing kind of stuff. It's like, don't be hyped just because you see this thing on television. Don't be hyped because it's super popular.
Yep.
Like, kind of make informed decisions about what games you want and what they do.
That's the thing. Like, I think, now, I'm no business expert or whatever, so this is just me entirely talking out of my ass, but I think that the main reason why stuff like that is the case is because people saw how popular things like Call of Duty were, and it had a huge marketing budget and stuff like that, and that's why it did so successfully. Everyone's like, well, if we do that, then we'll get the same fame, and that's you're bottling lightning on that, and it's not going to work.
Yep. I mean, like, just another example.
Crazy
like,
PR stunt.
Yeah, like, what was that? Homefront? Like, it's like all their money is like went. Like, it probably didn't go into the game.
Balloons.
It was like, it was in the marketing. It was ridiculous. Like, market better.
The game wasn't very good,
well,
so they kind of did to market it.
Don't go ridiculous with marketing. Find better outlets to market, and don't try to, it's a difficult subject, but what?
Hey, find an audience that you want to market to. For example, like with Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect comes off of a sci-fi heavy series for people who are, you know, into BioWare style games and stuff like that.
So send the game into space.
So send the game into space. No, don't do that. It's that kind of game. It operates to that audience. So instead, they redesign the game and market it to everyone. And that's a pretty good way to lose the trust of the people who are into the game, you know, before. People who liked Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2 probably not going to like Mass Effect 3 as much because of the fact that it's no longer targeted at them. You know, if you...
Yeah, it's also weird that they did that in the final game of the series.
Yeah, it is. It's extremely weird that they did that in the final game of the series because, you know, you're like, oh, wow, I'm super into shooters. I really want to play this cover-based shooter that's, you know, like this. And then you play Mass Effect 1, which, as much as I love the game, was a terrible shooter.
It does not hold up. Yes. As a game, it does not hold up particularly well.
Yeah. The people were going to be like, oh, well, okay, then I guess I shouldn't trust that anymore.
Yeah. But that's what goes into the whole focus testing, which is also another part of marketing. It's like, as in the development process, it's like a lot of developers have these external, like, people. It's like these guys are like, oh, I only play shooters. It's like, would it appeal to me if I play Tomb Raider? And, like, they literally do that. Like, they have people that are like, if it appeals to a certain group, and they play these games, and if it appeals to them or not. And focus testing is super dumb.
It is.
Don't let them in control of game development. This is why we get stuff like Mass Effect 3. This is why we get, you know, like a bunch of games that cater to a wider audience. It's because of this stuff like focus testing and the large-scale marketing. Oh, God, it's a giant headache.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, what we want to do is we want this game to sell to an audience like everyone, or like, you know, the largest audience that we can get. So we're going to get the people who are most representative of that large audience, and then they get the people that they have in focus testing, which don't, that are, you know, these people are not indicative of people at large. It's a specific group of people. Instead of trying to actually broaden the audience, it's trying to target an existing audience. So it doesn't even work to the purpose that you're aiming it at, and then it comes off as being, you know, less good as a consequence. The end. Yeah.
So, marketing, game development, there's a lot of things wrong with it.
Yep.
And
don't homogenize your business.
Change.
Okay. I think we did that. Good job, everyone.
Yeah, we lost that.
Good work, team.
Fixed. EA, take our advice. Run.
Yep. All right. So now we've got questions. Questions? Questions.
Sure.
Zero. He's got a bunch of ones and zeros also in his name, so Zero asks, what other hobbies or interests do you have besides gaming and anime? Who said I liked anime?
Yeah. At what point did Marshall say he liked anime? Please gather that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes, do you have more interest in other than gaming, Marshall?
Nope, but sometimes I do spend my time with television programs and movies. I like comics. I don't read comics as much as I'd like to, but I do enjoy them. If you're asking, like, oh, are you into cool people, normal stuff, like sports? Nope. Mostly just, you know, generic nerd crap, games, books, movies. The end.
And what, corn?
What about you, Bivarel? I mean, Kakorn?
Oh, I was going to try to transition corn.
Yeah.
Sweet corn.
Fun. I used to be into Warhammer, surprising. I'm not sure if I brought it up before.
I don't think
you did. Like, I like the world and everything, and it's kind of interesting. Well, the galaxy, I guess, technically. But it's pretty expensive to keep, to stay into that. It's like 500 points, $500 to get like a 1,500 point army.
Yeah.
Unless you don't want vehicles, in which case, good luck winning anything. I mess around with computers a bit. Not so much anymore since I got no money, so it's kind of just crap my granddad gives me that I just tinker. I do watch a little sports, rugby here and there. Don't follow it too much.
You're from New Zealand, of course you watch rugby.
I watch better TV, a few shows. Mostly comedy stuff, like 7 Days and the other one.
Flight of the Conchords?
No. I used to watch that. Anyway, there's also, I've been kind of following Game of Thrones, but whatevs. Also read the series, so I read a little bit.
Yeah. I thought you said you were illiterate.
I lied, right?
Okay.
That's pretty much it, I guess.
What about you, Roland B?
Oh no. Like, I would say I've had a lot of hobbies, but the only one that has stood the test of time is gaming. Like, I've dabbled with, like, music, I've dabbled with, I was one huge reader at one point, like, and dabbled with television, sports for a bit, and after a while, you just kind of stop, you find out what you care about the most as you get older.
Yeah.
And gaming was for me, it's like, I pursue, like, job careers related to gaming, like, as I am currently, which I can't really talk about, but I'll pretend to talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. gaming's my number one. It's my main focus. It's just that simple. I would say even anime is like one of those past hobbies. Like, it's one of those things where I was crazy about it at one point, but it fell back in the focus.
Yeah.
I'm barely watching anime. What ifs?
Yeah. It's a shame, because I'm never going to say anything nice about anime ever again, but it used to be an interesting sort of thing, but again, it's falling into the same problem of just sort of like, well, what do people like now? Oh, you like moe things? Well, let's do that all the time.
Slice of life. Oh, God.
You want some more slice of life shows? Because we got that.
I just like watching cute girls do nothing for like 13 episodes.
Well, good news.
That's what gets me off.
Okay. That went somewhere else.
And that's an ending on that note.
Yep. Also, what's your favorite part of each podcast? And don't say the end. Ask by QQ.
I like
should
I the answer? Pre-show.
You like the what? Yeah.
The pre-show. Crazy.
Yep. That's pretty good. Questions are good. I like the what you play in part. That lets me talk about me.
Of course.
Yeah. Alright. What about you, Barrow?
I don't know. I mean, I like talking about games, so it's not that much of a chore to talk about games. So that's why, just in general, it's like, if you're to make me do an anime podcast, for example, I'd be much more reluctant to do it. I'm like, I have to keep up with this stuff. Exactly.
Yep.
But yeah, I like gaming. I like talking about it. Even if the conversations don't always end up being the best, there's a lot of gym conversation.
Yep, there is. And, you know, that's something we care about.
Yeah.
What about you, Maze? That's you, Corn.
I already said the pre-show stuff.
Well, what part of the actual podcast proper do you like?
Yeah, exactly. That's
the corner.
Okay,
like that's talking about me.
That's a good one. I also like New Zealand
corner. Are you hyped about New Zealand corner this week?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got some. All right, in a hypothetical,
there might be
South Korean versus North Korean war.
Yeah.
Which side do you think New Zealand would take?
Oh. I would hope they'd take South Korea's side, but framing that question, it makes it sound like North Korea.
Okay. So John Key likes to likes some hypothetical questions. And he likes to change his answer depending on who asks them.
Yeah.
Because he's a typical politician.
He probably forgot he was asked. Yep. To be fair, he probably forgot he was asked it in the first place. Heyo, brain fade.
Oh.
I think
that John.
I think it's. I think it's a serious problem at this point. I think he do has memory issues. Like, I think someone, he needs to be examined or something, because it's just...
Yep. I think he do has memory issues, too.
I was expecting one episode where Marshall wasn't going to, like, call out Korn's grammar.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah,
I was like, he did do it earlier in this episode, so maybe not.
Whatever. Look, that's not the issue. Tell us about the Shan Key.
Yes.
What is the issue? What is he doing?
Well, he basically thinks the ancestors are still around, but we all know what that is, don't worry. Okay. So he basically said he'd go and support South Korea, but then he backed out of it when asked again.
Okay. Now, do you support this or no?
Well, South Korea is kind of the one not being a giant dickhead, so yeah, I'd support them over North Korea.
Yeah. What about John Key? Do you support him?
No.
Korn.
Asked if that he would see Kiwi troops deployed, Mr. Key said, I think you're just so far off the planet, don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Well, what else you got? What else you got in the NZ seats?
We're over time, so that's it. Just
okay. Alright.
Power problems, slightly. Water shortages kind of deal. Selling off our assets, because that's kind of what we are.
Wait one damn minute. You have a water shortage?
It's not a problem at the moment, but it will be. Because we haven't had much rain, so there's a bit of a drought and everything. And how much of our water... Like, a lot of our water, our power is generated from water.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh no, during winter it's going to be a problem.
Now here's the thing I don't understand about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a goddamned island.
Well, generate water from the sea.
It's like, and those like water purifiers that translate like water, ocean water, into pure water.
I'm not
like, that's
in charge
of
power.
Now, I'm no expert, right?
Mm.
But from my understanding, if you're at the ocean and you need water, is it not possible to boil water to get the salt out of it and then just collect the water and it'd actually be potable at that point?
I don't know how this works, right? We just use, like, hydro lakes and stuff. That's how it works for us, I guess.
Alright, whatever, fine. I don't care anymore.
Politics. Yeah. Marshall doesn't care anymore. This is going down an unfortunate path.
Okay.
Sort of overtime, so, no.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Take this thing into overtime. Alright, that's it for this week's episode of the Game Podcast. Again, I was your host, Marshall Henderson. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to find me on the internet. You can find me on gamepodunk.com, or you can send me a message, or, you know, use a little, you know, chatty thing or whatever. I might be in there sometimes. Also on the twitter.com at rdawesome. Beryl, tell us your deets.
You can find me on gamepodunk, but you can't really, because apparently I'm, you know, a missed member, and...
Yeah,
and never on chat anymore.
Come back to us.
Yeah. But I do at the very least try to write for Game Podunk, and I try to at least help behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
hopefully. But also, I don't know, you can find me on Twitter at BarrelMaster. I'll probably ridicule you for some crazy gaming takes.
Yep.
And that's about it.
Alright. Tell us your secret sequel.
I'm on GamePodunk. I'm on chat occasionally.
Like right
also
now.
A Twitter. I never tweet, but whatever, so you can follow me and enjoy the silence.
Yep.
Korn47, KHORNE47. Yeah.
Alright. That was good. We did it good there, everyone.
We did it good.
God, I can't wait for Jordan to be back next week.
Yeah. God. Me either. Alright, bye everyone. Bye.
Bye bye.
Beryl, say bye.
Bye.
Okay, good. Good work. We did it, everyone.